see you as years go by.
I'm going to go ahead and get started here. Thank you for coming to this public meeting for the revised PRC 421 Recommissioning Project Draft Environmental Impact Report. If you haven't done so, there are sign-in sheets when you come through the door in the front, as well as speaker slips if you wish to speak on the project. I'm Eric Gillis with the California State Lands Commission. I'm a project manager on this project. We have Holly Wire, who's deputy project manager on this project, as well as Rita Bright, is our environmental consultant from AMIC Earth and Environment. The California State Lands Commission is the lead agency under the California Environmental Quality Act and has prepared this draft document for public review and comment. This meeting's not only being televised, but we're transcribing it to be sure we have everybody's comments on this document. The purpose of this meeting is basically to get public input on the adequacy of the environmental impact report. The project's being proposed by Venico to recommission two piers off the coast of the city of Goleta. Steve Gregg from Venico is here, and he's in the audience. We released the public draft document on October 18th for a 60-day public review period, and comments in Friday, December 20th. A week from Friday. The document's available on our website at www.slc.ca.gov, as well as is also found at the local libraries, and we do have an extra copy here if anybody needs one. We're going to go ahead and I'll have AMIC, Rita from AMIC, do a presentation on the project and the EIR, and then we'll open it up for public comment and then let you know next steps following that. So I'll let Rita take over.
Good evening. Thank you, Eric. My name is Rita Bright, and I am a senior project manager, CEQA, with AMIC. As Eric mentioned, the purpose of the public hearing is to provide the public with an overview of the project, to summarize the issues as well as the public concerns that have been expressed to date on this project, to summarize the project alternatives and impacts, and to receive your comments on the adequacy of the environmental document. For a brief project overview, we also have this aerial photo with some key components of the project labeled on the easel, and you're welcome to take a closer look at that if you'd like. This project involves a reactivation of well 421-2, which would include new electrical submersible pump within the well, well safety equipment, and repairs to reinforce Pier 421-2's deck and caissons. There would also be modifications to the Elwood onshore facility, which is this area right in here. Again, here's the shoreline. And here are the two piers in question, or two piers that are part of the project description, 421-2 and 421-1. So there would be modifications of the Elwood onshore facility to accommodate Pier 421-2's production. That would include installation of production metering and process monitoring equipment. And there would also be pipeline and cables installed. There's a cross-section of the pipeline and cables where the roadway easement is that runs parallel to the shoreline. And here's the existing seawall and the bulkhead and the existing easement. And this shows you where the electrical conduit would be. And this shows you where the line would be for the transfer of the oil for processing. In terms of Pier 421-1 and the well, this portion of this project would include the plugging and decommissioning of the well of 421-1, including removal of the pier caissons, It would connect piping between 421-1 and 421-2. I'm sorry, it would involve the decommissioning of the connecting piping between the two piers. And it would also involve the removal of ancillary supporting facilities. The estimated production of the Pier 421-2 project would be approximately 150 barrels per day initially for the first month, and then it would level off to approximately 50 barrels per day after about 2 years of operation. And it would probably, it's estimated that it would match the last 10 years of continuous historical production. Some of the key issues of public concern, and of course this is not exhaustive, but this is some of the major issues that have been identified and through the NOP scoping meeting, include, does Venico have a vested right to resume production at PRC 421? Will the project extend the life of the Elwood onshore facility? What repressurization has occurred so far, and what is the risk of well failure? Does the reactivated well represent a new source? And why can't the production be piped to Las Flores Canyon for processing? With respect to vested rights, Fenico contends that it has a legal right under the contract with the California State Lands Commission to resume oil production, to resume the production of both oil and gas lease at PRC 421. The issue of these rights of operation is an issue that is not within the scope of CEQA, of the environmental analysis, but rather it's a discussion which will be provided in the staff report to the commission as other information which may be presented to the agency. And there is a citation on the PowerPoint regarding the state CEQA guidelines 15121, which describes the scope of CEQA analysis as well. With respect to the life of the Elwood onshore facility, the project as proposed would not extend the life of the Elwood onshore facility in the event that Platform Holly production ceases and Platform Holly is decommissioned. PRC 421's production would also cease, and then it would go through the decommissioning phase of the project. This would be carried through as a condition of approval. One of the major issues involved with this project is repressurization, and this issue goes back at least as far as 2001, when the California State Lands Commission staff determined that the Vaqueros Reservoir had repressurized. And the figure shows the increase in wellhead pressure from 1988 to 2000. You can see the trend of increased pressurization. The increase in pressure in the Vaqueros Reservoir is thought to have caused leaking in both PRC 421 wellheads in 2000 after being shut in for 6 years. In response to the detection of these leaks, Venico installed a temporary pipeline at well 421-2, and when 421-2 was subsequently opened, a flow of estimated amount of 17,000 barrels of nearly pure oil flowed over the subsequent 10 months. Engineers at Venico and the California State Land Commission staff determined that repressurization is most likely being caused by aquifer influx, which is a natural groundwater movement. Also noted, there are at least 21 of the 72 offshore wells drilled into the Vaqueros Reservoir from piers had potential deficiencies in their historic abandonment procedures, which could also make them more vulnerable to leakage. A lot of these wells are more decades plus old with different standards, and some also with, because of their historical nature, would not be wells that would be conformance to current standards and safety standards and capping standards. Currently, there is no active well penetrating the reservoir into which pressure testing equipment can be inserted. And this was an issue that has been raised a few times, a number of times, regarding the ability to test, pressure test, the reservoir. And there are no, within the Vaqueros Reservoir, there are no active wells, so there are no other well options that could be used at this point in time to do a pressurized test. A static reservoir pressure will be taken from well 421-2 prior to resumption of production. Static pressure measurements will also be obtained annually during the Elwood onshore facility shutdown to be used in the analysis of repressurization. So once the project, if it was approved and in operation, there would be ongoing monitoring during the life of the project. Another issue raises, is this a new source of, is this a net increase in production? Oil and gas processing facilities would not expand beyond the current permitted quantities. Improvements to the Elwood onshore facility to allow PRC 421 production may be considered an enlargement, an expansion, or an extension what is presently considered and recognized by the City of Goleta as a nonconforming use. And such nonconforming use expansions, enlargements, or extensions would be viewed to be inconsistent with the Goleta Municipal Code. So this is an ongoing issue that will be studied, of the nature of the status of the nonconforming uses and facility of the Elwood onshore facility. The EIR recognizes that resumption of production at PRC 421 would therefore be inconsistent with the City of Goleta's general plan, coastal plan policies, and they're cited here. But in recognition of this inconsistency, the EIR also finds that impacts to land use are considered significant and unavoidable. Another issue that has been raised involves the concept of a alternative where processing would occur at the Las Flores Canyon. PRC 421 production would remain in a three-phase state. It would be an oil, gas, and water state before it's transported to processing at Las Flores Canyon. Therefore, the existing Line 96, and Line 96, let's see if I can show you. This is a recently approved and operating line. The EIR was certified, I believe, in 2011, and it goes along 101, and it travels about 8.5 miles westerly, northwesterly, towards Las Flores Canyon. That line transfers oil. It doesn't transfer a combined state, as the PR, or rather PRC 421 production would provide. So in order to transfer that to Las Flores Canyon, there would require construction of another pipeline that would have similar impacts and require similar types of mitigations as the Line 96 modification project. And ancillary requirements would also include installation of larger pumps at Pier 421-2. Because of the extent of improvements required and the fact that Las Flores Canyon would also have to require new facilities or new equipment to process, this alternative was considered infeasible based on extensive construction impacts and cost. So the EIR, in conclusion, evaluated numerous resource areas and found that there were 16 class or significant and unavoidable impacts, which means that no matter how much conditioning or mitigation you put on a project, the effects upon the environment would remain significant. 13 are related to potential oil spill effects on the environment, either at Pier 421-2, the flow lines, or Line 96. And some of the subject areas you can see in red include aesthetics, safety, hydrology, marine and terrestrial biology, land use, planning, and recreation. Three of these significant impacts are related to increased processing at the Elwood onshore facility or additional impacts on public services, including fire protection services. There are a number of other impacts to the environment identified, and these are considered potentially significant impacts, but mitigable, which means that there are conditions that are feasible that could reduce impacts to what are considered less than significant in accordance with established CEQA guideline thresholds. And I think you can all read that. I won't go into itemizing all of those. There were all alternatives identified in the EIR, which is required by state law. And one alternative is always the no project alternative. There was also alternatives including oil processing on Pier 421-2, the reinjection at Platform Holly. And these were alternatives that were further evaluated in the EIR with their impacts compared to with the project and the no project alternative. There were alternatives that were considered but found to no longer to not be feasible for carrying out, and those could be that they do not meet some of the project objectives. That doesn't mean they have to wholly meet the project objectives, but they did not meet some of the project objectives, that they could result in greater impacts to the environment, or that because of technical requirements, they may be found to be infeasible. Those are some of the bases for dismissing alternatives. And again, under CEQA, you need to evaluate a reasonable range of alternatives that does not require an exhaustive set of alternatives. And again, these are some of the alternatives that were dismissed, and their rationale is included in the EIR. Based on the EIR analysis, the proposed project has been identified as the environmentally superior alternative. The no project alternative would not allow for the opportunity for pressure testing. Thus, the risks of spills from repressurization could still remain. The proposed project would best reduce significant and unavoidable impacts to many resource areas. However, many of these impacts remain significant and unavoidable. So in other words, you can have a significant impact and it may have less of an impact than another project, but it could still remain significant to the environment. That concludes my summary of the EIR, and I invite you to continue to study the EIRs, the draft EIR, during this public comment period.
Yeah, and you could submit. Sorry. Comments could be submitted via email, as you see on the slide, at sequacomments@slc.ca.gov, as well as mail to our Sacramento office and on the address on the screen. I'll go ahead. We have two speakers that want to speak on the project, or three now. You could bring it up to me. Thanks. Okay, We'll go ahead and have Elizabeth Crawford. And then following Elizabeth, we'll have Mark Foster and then Carrie Riley.
Thank you for the opportunity. Is this on? There we go. Okay, very good. Thank you for the opportunity. At the 3 o'clock meeting, like I said, I was just processing everything that had come new to us, new to me, new to my new fellow residents. And so if I was overly enthusiastic, I apologize. But I think it's all good. I think that this is completely relevant to all of the experiences that I've ever had with the Rocketdyne Santa Susana field lab cleanup involving nuclear waste, rocket waste, burn waste, ashes, and so forth. And so the methodology is exactly the same. The agencies are exactly the same. SEQ was exactly the same. So unfortunately, this is a nightmare redux. Number one, my neighbors and I were never noticed at all. Again, I'm repeating it, and so I'll just go through real quickly with little of the editorial because I want to catch them up. That is a violation of federal law, violation of state law, certainly a violation of somebody's charter, either the city of Goleta or, no offense, yours. So that needs to be managed so that we can be brought into this. While I sat here, I listened to Environmental Defense Council, Sierra Club, Santa Barbara, Channel Keepers, and a lot of informed and expert people who came to share all of their knowledge and wisdom and input. So I'm going to just summarize that for this particular record so that my comments are certainly taken orally, and I will supply them written as well, in why this EIR, draft EIR, is, I'm sorry, completely inadequate. Number one, it has been established that the pressurization at all is deeply in question. Venico and state land commissions have done zero tests whatsoever to verify the premise upon which this, excuse me, radical development and project that just dropped into our laps is based upon. Number two, Venico and the State Lands Commission is ignoring data that does exist from vapor monitors that have been set up in this oil field that is supposedly building up under pressure based on aquifer influx. Let me repeat that. Venico says this has to happen because it's building up, but they are not offering any data, and the state is not requiring it to prove that. And Venico and the state are ignoring the data that does exist. So I question the premise of this whole project. Not only that, let's move on past that. If water is intruding onto the space that the oil in this oil field occupies, they could remove the water. But they don't. They take the oil out. Would you rather have water spilled or oil? Again, spurious basis for this whole project. Number three, it is one single private individual who's been driving this thing for the past 5 years at our north mid-coast. His name is Tony Marquez. He took his company private so that there's no public scrutiny. He took and purchased, is trying to purchase all of the manufacturing wells away from his company so that he owns all of the extraction. He tried it at Carpinteria. They kicked him out. He then consolidated all of the loose oil holdings at the Elwood fields. He then tried to develop them, and last year Santa Barbara shut them down, and that's who most of these representatives were. And where is he now? In Goleta. It is a pattern. It is a method. It is a strategy. Forbes has been watching him for years. I do not for a moment believe that this is really about relieving pressure on our beaches. Sorry. What does California gain? What does Goleta gain? And who bears the impacts? Venico owned owed this very commission $9.5 million in oil royalties that they have not paid on oil fields that they've already opened up and developed and exposed people to. And their representative corrected me this afternoon to say, oh, no, actually, Venico settled. I asked, really, how much did the taxpayers of California get out of that? And he finally came to the point to where he said Venico made it go away. Venico's position was that we didn't owe California anything. California couldn't prove their case. So if California in the future decides that Venico is shorting them on oil royalties, we don't have a very good chance of ever getting our fines back, because they will absolutely take us to court and fight us until the state settles and makes it go away. Number five, planning. Planning. We each get up in the morning and think, what am I trying to do today, and how am I going to get it done? I just learned today that Venico has not ascertained whether this production slurry out of this depressurizing process can even be processed at the Elwood offsite facility where they plan to send it, which is right between Sandpiper and the Bluffs. They have not even picked up the phone to find out if that processing facility can manage what they propose to send it. The fact that they've gotten us to this point without making a simple set of phone calls and assertion efforts is pretty astonishing, and I would say somebody within the State Land Commission should have figured that out before we all got to this point. Number six, vested rights. Venico says they have rights and that this is all good. State Land Commission apparently agrees with them without ever really contacting their attorneys, because I spoke to the city of Goleta. I've read the city of Goleta's attorneys' public comments, and they are all quite shocked, frankly, at how the State Land Commission and Venico together are completely bulldozing Goleta's rights to slow it down, to have their comments from the last EIR proposal even addressed in this one. Santa Barbara has the same concerns. So City of Santa Barbara thinks you don't have the rights. City of Goleta thinks you don't have the rights. So it's two people in a legal combat. And I would say until that gets settled, nothing should go forward, certainly on the processing of this permit. Excuse me, are you kidding me? Number seven, I learned today that there is no plan to manage the hazardous waste that you guys might find as you go on and decommission this 30, 40-year-old pier that's been doing nothing but shipping tons of slurry and oil materials for the last 40, 50 years. I can tell you from my experience, you're guaranteed to find this hazardous material, and apparently you're not going to require, wherever the division is between SLC and Venico, you're not going to require them to do anything about it. Regarding the testing, that you have stated today that there is only one well on this pressurizing system that can possibly be tested, and that the only way to test it is to run commercial operations. Piezometers, as I mentioned earlier, are an exceedingly cheap, less than $1,000, $2,000, to drill in and put in a hairline fracture, basically as big as my pen, down to go see vapor gas, soil vapor gas, water flow, pressurization, and they can even grab pieces and assess sediment as they go. I do not accept for a moment that this is the only possible way to test Venico's theory against all existing data that the pressurization is actually happening. Number eight, will the life of the plant be extended? You say no, and a lot of other people here with law degrees and so forth say yes. And in fact, the DEIR description varies, I just heard today, on the project. At one page it says it says it's a 12-year lifespan. Another one says 20 years. And another place in the documents it says at least 20. At this moment, we don't know how long this is going to affect us. And again, I can't believe that this document is about to be considered without at least somebody coming through and making sure that A, the facts match, and B, you're actually telling the public what we're about to have put upon us. The EOF, Elwood Offsite Facility, will begin emitting non-compliant gases, hydrogen sulfate, benzene, carbon sulfate. This will absolutely expand its uses at an old, outmoded, and out-of-compliant site. It will be asked to perform procedures that it is not licensed for. 24-hour emissions, not single events. State Land Commission and Venico rejected all possible options except commercial development. You did not consider requiring them to put in cheap test wells. You did not require them to do anything that would form a basis of evidence to substantiate their arguments. That is absolutely inadequate. It is a decision process that I have problems with, but I'll put that in my written comments. There is no hazmat spill plan that is adequate for CEQA requirements. Apparently, it does not contain the benchmarks and testing to make sure that it's adequate, and it's considered open-ended. So that's a little bit worrying to the people who literally live right there and have the likelihood that that's going to happen to us. Please look, my friends, at the list of significant, let's listen to those words again, bureaucracies is a language unto itself, significant and unavoidable consequences. I heard earlier today a definition that you guys unfortunately didn't hear, which is that there is no engineering remedy that can possibly predict it, prevent it, or manage it. Pretty much. That's why it's called significant and unavoidable spills and so forth. I would ask everybody to look at who gains and who pays. I've heard an awful lot about Venico's rights. What about the rights of me, my family, my husband, my kids, my grandkids, theirs, and so forth? Where do we get a hearing? City of Goleta is telling you this is illegal and you won't listen. Santa Barbara is telling you this is illegal and you won't listen. Who is standing up for our rights? Because we can't even get a postcard from somebody. So that's it. This draft environmental impact is completely inadequate on virtually every one of the requirements that it has. Thank you for this opportunity.
All right, thank you. Mark Foster.
So I've never come to a city council before. Never.
Correct. We're the State Lands Commission. We're not a city council. We're just using their facilities.
All right. I've never done one of these things before. And the fact that I'm here is pretty significant. I think that you should know who I am. I'm expert system engineering professional. I have more than 30 years of experience in the aerospace business. My credentials are probably exceed almost everyone in this room, except I expect you're an engineer, sir, and you're an attorney? Engineer? Okay, so I guess, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I'm probably the most qualified person in all of this Santa Barbara County to talk about engineering, except for maybe a few people at UC Santa Barbara. I'm also a PhD candidate, and I have the qualifications to speak at this kind of a situation. The only reason I'm here is because I recently purchased property at the Bluffs. I found out last night at 7 o'clock that this was going on. Is it, to my, what I've heard so far, and some of it may have been exaggerated, I'm still trying to discover that, I have heard that there is a severe danger to my family and also to the property values of the property I just purchased less than a year ago. We've heard that number of rights have been violated, number of laws have been violated. At the very least, disclosure laws have been violated, which means a class action lawsuit. So I want to make sure that everyone understands that if you go forward with this, that you will be buying into a class action lawsuit from this community, including Pinoco, because we were not informed when we purchased the property that this was going on, even though everyone in this room knew that it was happening, except the people who are buying the property. That's against the law, bottom line. And as an engineer, what I'm hearing, first of all, is the way this was presented, the people who presented it, no disrespect, didn't really understand what they were talking about. I'm looking at what I'm seeing, and just looking at this, I'm really worried as an engineer. I don't think that the due process has been happening legally, and I certainly don't think that the engineering has gone into it. I think somebody is trying to very quickly brush over the very serious impacts of something like this. And they're also, we go back to some of the previous charts that really concern me as a resident, the unavoidable environmental impacts, which may be fine if you don't live in the area, but if you live right down the street, you will destroy, I mean, you're putting my family at health risk. Not acceptable. If I were to put that by your house with your children, your grandchildren, would that be okay with you? No. I guarantee you that there's also some people at Picara and Sandpiper who aren't going to accept this either. So you need to really think about going forward with this.
Mark, did you get a copy of the EIR?
I didn't. I only found out about this last night at 7 o'clock, which is one of the reasons why I'm here. I'm really offended that I didn't find out about this over a year ago when I first looked at the property. I should have known about it. And the city of Goleta should have let me know immediately as soon as I became a resident.
Well, we have extra copies if you'd like a copy.
I want a copy.
Okay. There you go. Was that
and
the?
I want some time to evaluate. I have a full-time job. I can't do this for 24 hours or by the
20th. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we appreciate you coming in. Okay, Carrie Riley.
Good evening. I also am a resident of Goleta and live in the area of the proposed project. And like my neighbor, only yesterday came to find out about this project. I have, a number of things to contest here. Number one, my daughter goes to Elwood Elementary School, and I'd like to ask if Elwood Elementary School, if any tests have been done in regards to the gases that would be emitted, any environmental studies that would impact the children, not to mention the butterflies. that was my immediate concern. Aside from property values, aside from the illegality of not letting people know of a major project, because what really concerns me in this environmental impact report is that it says right here is that Venico contends it has a legal right under its contract with the CSLC to resume production of oil and gas lease, PRC 421. The legal principle of rights is a distinct contractual issue, not an environmental issue. And I think that anybody that is familiar with any legal defense in this country knows that that is not ever the case. if there is a contractual issue that is in violation of environmental issues, if the environmental studies have not been done, then clearly there's an environmental issue before we can move forward with any contractual issue. So there will certainly be legal action if this moves forward from a number of different agencies, a number of different communities, a number of different homeowners associations. And I, again, join my neighbors in just being, in all honesty, stunned that we have not been notified that a project of this magnitude, with this little data being presented to us, and essentially the only alternative being a no project or an expensive pipeline that would have to be put in. I'm sure there's multitude of ways to reduce pressurization. I'm not an engineer. I'm a businesswoman. But I have not seen data that convinces me remotely. And if I saw it, I'd be open to it, but I haven't. So until the children have been addressed, the butterflies have been addressed, the homeowners have been addressed, you know, I think that there's a lot of questions that have to get answered before this can move forward one more step. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie. Well, that ends. What's that? Sure. Yeah, well, yeah.
Hi, Steve Gregg with Eneco. This isn't for the state lands, but because the kind of this process has gotten a little bit different than most draft EIR comments. I guess my main comment was that I would be happy to talk with you about the project, about what we do. I'm great you're living here, and great you moved here. The first speaker said a number of things that were so far from factual that I can't go into them at this point, and there's no need to. But trust me, I would be happy to talk with your homeowners association, with you as people, just to answer your questions and give you a little bit of at least kind of what I understand as what's going on. So
why what's the hurry?
You know what? Let's go
no,
on.
No, wait.
You know what? Let's end this because this there's no this is. Yeah, this process is just for them to take comments in the EIR. So we can chat, but I just want to get...
Mr. Gregg,
if
you could speak sort of into the microphone since we are televising this.
Oh, my gosh, I forgot we're televising it. Hello, everybody.
Thank you.
That's all my comments.
Okay. Well, thanks, Steve. As far as... No, we're, this is not going to be a debate session. We're just... We got your comments.
I would like to have the word exaggeration struck. I was merely presenting what the Environmental Defense Center and lots of other bodies...
And we have that documented. Thank you from the 3 o'clock meeting.
Thank you.
The purpose of this meeting is to take your comments, and that's what we're going to be concluding this meeting. But the next steps would be State Lands Commissions will take all the comments here as well as comments received by the December 20th, a week from Friday, and then preparing a final EIR for the State Lands Commission to consider the document is the final EIR as well as the project. We're looking at early 2014 for this final EIR. If we have you on the mailing list, so we'll be sure you get a copy of the final EIR. And then noticing of when our commission will hear this project early in 2014. No. All this is we prepared the draft environmental impact report for a 60-day comment period. We State Lands Commission's practice is to come down to the community where the project is to hold this hearing to voice the, you know, get comments from the community both verbally as well as written. We're just staff of the commission. We don't make the decision. All we do is present the information to the commission along with our staff report, and then it's brought to them. And that will give you an opportunity again if you're not satisfied with the responses to the comments in the final EIR. That's another opportunity to address your concerns at our commission meeting when it's noticed. So there's another opportunity for a public forum on the project. And with that, we'll go ahead and conclude and close the meeting. Thank you for coming.
The world will always welcome lovers as time goes by. It's still the same old story, same old story.